Hello and welcome to Jane's Most Excellent Church Adventure. I'm Jane Grainer, Senior Pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. In these podcasts, we'll be exploring a variety of subjects. Here you'll find my sermons, my Bible lessons, and my general musings on religion, spirituality, and the church. In this Bible lesson, we examine Jesus' teaching about worry. It comes from Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? If then you are not able to do so small a thing as that, why do you worry about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not keep striving for what you are to eat and what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying. For it is the nations of the world that strive after all these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, strive for his kingdom, and these things will be added to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Luke 12, 22 through 34. Do not worry. Well, that's easier said than done. Worry and anxiety seem to be the timber of our times, the malady of our age. Of course, deep down, we know that worry and anxiety does nothing to add to our lives, but rather subtracts from the quality of our lives. We know it does no good, for as Jesus said, how can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your span of life? Yet we still spend time mired in worry, and the current pandemic has only served to deepen our anxiety. In fact, you can make an argument that right now we have good reason to worry. Anxiety per se is not always a bad thing. Good anxiety can keep us and our loved ones safe. It can motivate us to perform at our highest level. It can even be fun if anxiety comes in the form of a sporting event, an adventure movie, or an edge-of-your-seat novel. But when it comes to worrying about our pursuit of material possessions, excessive anxiety only serves to make us miserable. God, as our loving parent, already knows we need such things. When Jesus talked about the lilies of the field, how even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these, I think of the beautiful blue bonnets that festooned the road along Luke 12 this last spring as I drove into Trinity to live stream the worship services. In the midst of a global pandemic, they reminded me of how God ever takes care of us. All my needs would be supplied. But what of those who have lost their jobs and their health insurance during this time? It's easy to tell someone with a steady job and income not to worry, but it's different when you truly do not know from where your next meal will come. A few days ago, I read a story about a United Methodist church that had set up their parking lot to deliver boxes of food to those who had lost their jobs. They only had 300 boxes, so they had to tell the people in the cars at the back of the line that they would have to come back next week. Some became angry. Others just burst into tears. I can't blame a person for worrying about what they are to eat if they really don't know where their next meal is coming from. For a person who will never once experience true hunger, to blithely say that we shall not worry about what we are to eat is at best clueless and at worst despicable. To such a person, I would say, no, don't worry about what you are going to eat, but you should be worrying about what others who are truly hungry are going to eat. This is where verse 31 helps put this all in perspective. Instead, strive for God's kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Put the fulfillment of the kingdom of God first, to truly pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, places every other aspect of our lives in its proper place. It's often said that to strive for happiness directly usually misfires. Strive instead for meaning and purpose, and happiness will follow. To put this in biblical terms, strive for God's kingdom first, and then all the other things which God already knows we need will be given to us as well. Though I might add, our definition of what we truly need will be changed as we grow more into Christ's likeness. For those of us who have never had to really strive for our basic necessities, it's the last few verses of this passage that can be threatening. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, I'm not sure any one of us is really ready to sell all our possessions and give alms. But one way to look at this is to remember that everything we own ultimately does not belong to us. It all belongs to God. We're only stewards and caretakers of what we have been blessed with. So one way to look at this is to survey all the material goods that God has entrusted to our possession. Is everything we own being used to further the glory and kingdom of God? It could be that there really are some possessions that we need to sell or give away. There may be other possessions that could be better used for God's kingdom. We can also look to the spiritual practice of simplicity. Richard Foster, the author of the book Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth, has this to say about simplicity. Asceticism and discipline are mutually incompatible. Asceticism renounces possessions. Simplicity sets possessions in proper perspective. Simplicity is the only thing that sufficiently reorients our lives so that possessions can be genuinely enjoyed without destroying us. In the end, we do well to remember that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Set your heart on the kingdom first. We do this by loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and by loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Love of God and neighbor, not love of possessions, will bring us our heart's desire, for it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. In our next lesson, we'll explore Jesus' parable of the great dinner. Will we be invited to the party? Listen and see. This is Jane Grainer, senior pastor at Trinity United Methodist Church in Duncanville, Texas. Thanks for listening.